You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb, and I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. Each week, we bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life through conversations with the coolest women in and around the world of food. First, let's thank our sponsors for keeping Radio Cherry Bomb on the air. Le Cordon Bleu. If you are daydreaming about culinary school, maybe it's time to say bonjour to Le Cordon Bleu. Learn more about the legendary culinary school's most prestigious professional qualification, Le Grand Diplôme, by visiting cordonbleu.edu. And Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs. Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs are better than cage-free. They are bull-free. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. And thank you to the Vital Farms team for sending me some eggs. I look forward to using them very soon. I actually just scarfed down a Roberta's pizza, which, why if I sound like I'm out of breath, I probably am. I was a little hungry, and DJ Dave kindly went and got me the normcore pie with cherry tomatoes, which I love. But the one thing I thought was, it could use an egg on it. I love when pizza has an egg on it. I don't know if that's a universal love, but I don't know. I like it. All right, if you are feeling bummed that summer is coming to a close, check out Cherry Bomb's special digital issue all about ice cream. It's called CB Scoop, and you can find it on cherrybomb.com. We did Q&As with some of the coolest women on the ice cream scene, and we put together the ultimate list of female-owned and fueled, you got that? Female-owned and fueled scoop shops across the country, and it's live now. We have more than 80 businesses representing over 100 scoop shops. Be sure to check out the list to make sure your favorite is on there. We're missing a lot of states, so check out that list and make sure that your state is on there. And if it's not, send us your favorite female-fueled scoop shop. And if you don't have a favorite female-fueled scoop shop, you know what you have to do. Go find one. But if your favorite's missing and you do have a favorite, be sure to DM us the details. Tell us the name of the place, where they're located, and who the woman is. She could be the owner, the ice cream maker, the chef, or the pastry chef. There are so many beloved shops across the country. It was really, really interesting learning about all your favorites. And one stood out in particular, Molly Moon's Homemade Ice Cream in Seattle. The Molly Moon squad is very passionate. If you're in Seattle, go see for yourself why they are so beloved. I think they have 8 different scoop shops, so you shouldn't have trouble finding one. And they are super focused on community and sustainability, so big thumbs up to them. And another Seattle fave, Frankie and Joe's, which is a plant-based ice cream brand. They are so fun and creative, and their ice cream is delicious. Doesn't matter if you're vegan or not. You will love it, I guarantee. My favorite is probably their California Cabin flavor. It's applewood smoked vanilla and pine ice cream with black pepper cardamom shortbread. Sounds great, right? And then over here on the East Coast, there's Penny Lick Ice Cream Company in Hastings-on-Hudson in New York State. Owner Ellen Sledge has a loyal following, and I need to go visit and learn more. So let's talk about today's guest. She is someone who is very special to Team Cherry Bomb. She is Jenny Goodman of Tillet, the workwear company that is known for its aprons. The Cherry Bomb office used to be right next to Tillet's office, so we got to know Jenny, her husband Alex, her dog, and her baby. Tillet is an indie brand that outfits some of the coolest chefs and hospitality peeps around. You know how much we love Chef Missy Robbins of the restaurant Lilia here in Brooklyn. Missy was just texting me the other day to tell me how much she loves her new Tillet jumpsuit. And actually, I think she was kind of rubbing it in that I do not have one yet. So I guess I need to get online later and order one. And then maybe Missy and I can wear matching jumpsuits to the next Jubilee. How does that sound? Stay tuned to hear Jenny's story and how Tillet has expanded over the years into one kick-ass company. We'll be right back with Jenny Goodman of Tillett after this word from Le Cordon Bleu.
Are you daydreaming about culinary school again? Make this the year your dreams become reality with Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school. Study classic French culinary techniques in cuisine and patisserie as part of their exclusive 9-month Le Grand Diplôme and graduate into a world of opportunity. You also can extend your course of studies to include culinary management and dedicated internships. Le Cordon Bleu has locations in more than 20 countries around the world and located within some of the best food cities out there: London, Ottawa, Madrid, Bangkok, Tokyo, and of course, the spiritual home of cuisine and Le Cordon Bleu, Paris. Turning your daydreams into reality is closer than ever. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more and let your culinary adventure begin.
Jenny Goodman got her start in the industry as a waitress at the age of 16 in the suburbs of Atlanta. Today, she is the COO of Tillett, the hospitality workwear company that many of you probably know. They have amazing aprons. In between, she went to school in New Orleans, worked in some classic restaurants, had a food truck that was only in business for 6 months. We will talk about that, certainly. She is a mom. She is a good friend of Cherry Bombs, and she has a lot to talk about. We are so happy to welcome Jenny Goodman to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you because we were neighbors, work neighbors, forever. And it's so funny, sometimes the people you see all the time are the people you know the least about, but you have so much affection for them, and you fall into that category. So I'm really, really excited to learn all these things about you today and to have you share some of your wisdom. First thing I have to ask, how is your daughter?
Oh, she's good. She's so cute. She's talking and walking, and it's like all of a sudden she's a little human in my house. I call her a little bit of a dictator. It's like she's a strong-willed woman, which I love, but she's definitely the boss now.
A baby dictator.
Baby dictator.
Because it was nice. We saw you all through your pregnancy, and then when the baby was born, and then when you brought the baby to the office.
Yes.
The dog was the baby before that.
Yes, and then you have a human baby, and then she's coming to the office. And that's, I mean, I have to say, being a woman business owner and having a baby, it's like there is a blessing there because you have the flexibility to be able to say, hey, I'm going to bring my kid to the office and, you know, nurse her if I have to in the bathroom while people are having sales calls on the floor.
In the bathroom. Oh, well, nurse her out.
Nurse her on the floor. That's true. I'm all for wherever you want to do.
Let's talk about how you got your start in this industry. You were, like I said, you were 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the suburbs of Atlanta. Why did you start waitressing?
Because basically I had a single mom and she was like, you want money? You want to go out to the movies with your friends? Go get a job. And that's how you can pay for it because I'm a hardworking teacher and we don't have extras. Basically, I was babysitting by the time I was 13 and waitressing by the time I was 16. And then even when I went to college, I continued working in the hospitality industry.
Where were you waitressing?
So when I was in Atlanta, I was at like a, you know, a sort of local suburban mini mall version of like a Houston's or Houlihan's kind of place. And then, you know, I didn't really realize what good food was until I went to Tulane and was in New Orleans and was like, holy shit, this is what amazing seafood tastes like. And I was fortunate to work at Commander's Palace. And that's where I really got an intro to how amazing the hospitality industry is and how amazing good food is, and I worked there.
Just tell everybody about Commander's Palace for those who haven't had the privilege of going there.
So Commander's Palace is an American institution. I mean, there's no really other way to say it. It's run by Ella Brennan and her sister Dottie and Lally Brennan and T. Martin. And Ella Brennan's been running this place. She's like 90 years old now. She's been running this place since like women were not restaurateurs and not restaurant owners. And they're just this amazing family. A lot of amazing chefs. Emeril Lagasse got his start there. Like, it's a breeding ground for well-known chefs. It's, you know, fine dining, old school, and just an experience. So if you are in New Orleans, go see my friends at Commander's Palace.
What's a typical dish at Commander's Palace?
The redfish is a typical dish. So gumbo is always on the menu. Soft-shell crab when it's in season is amazing. So there's always, you know, something amazing and delicious there.
What was the hardest thing about being a waitress?
Oh, my God.
Or let me rephrase that. Were you a good waitress?
I mean, I was 16, so who's a good waitress at 16? I think, you know, I actually love the hospitality industry. I loved being a waitress. I loved being front of house. And, you know, working in a company now, you miss the camaraderie.
And why didn't you stay in New Orleans? New Orleans is so exciting, especially, I mean, now it's crazy.
Oh, it's amazing. And I've been three times in the last year. I love visiting New Orleans. I moved to New York after I graduated from Tulane in 2004 for a job. So I took a detour from hospitality and to the pharmaceutical industry. So I got a really good job out of school and I worked there for like 8 years. Made some real money. But it was not creative, not interesting, really, you know, boring in a lot of ways. And yeah, and I miss the camaraderie again.
So you decided that it would be a really good idea to open a food truck with your boyfriend.
With my boyfriend and my brother.
And your brother.
Just add on another layer there. Yep. So in 2010, my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and I and my brother went into business together, and we opened a food truck that was actually stationary, had a yard, so it was more of like, you know, a stand that you could go and eat, and we had like a liquor license so you can come and drink beer in the yard. So we opened in June 2010 and closed in December 2010.
Whoops.
Oopsies. You know, it was a very expensive learning.
Take me back one step. Were you guys sitting around in New Orleans, like drinking, I don't know, French 75s and like, we have to have a food truck with a liquor license?
Yeah. So it was sort of one of those things where my brother actually lived across the street. So this was in Williamsburg, was where the is called Goods, and it was on the corner of Lorimer and Metropolitan. So if you're familiar with Williamsburg, at the time in 2010, Bedford was happening. Lorimer is the second stop on the L train into Williamsburg, and it was about to happen. So my brother was living across the street, had lived across the street for 10 years and had seen the neighborhood change, and there was this empty lot. And he was like, it's on top of the subway. We should put a food truck there because you can't build. It's very complicated to build because it's on top of the subway. So easiest thing, let's put a food truck, make it stationary. We're going to serve like bomb-ass Southern food. Everybody's going to come. It's going to be great. So there was all these things like operating costs and, you know, important things about labor and what it, all these calculations that essentially I didn't have a business degree. I was in science. Alex had never, you know, it was always the creative side. And my brother was running a separate business that was struggling in its own right. So, you know, there was all these factors that, you know, we didn't have a serious business plan. So what happens when you don't have a business plan? You open and close in 6 months. That's what I've learned.
Or you struggle along.
So for us, we realized that, hey, this isn't going to work. Let's get out, sell the business, and move on.
That takes a lot of, I don't want to say balls, because we don't have balls, but that takes a lot of chutzpah, nerve to be willing to admit that this isn't working.
Yeah. I mean, there's something called from the sunk cost fallacy. So there's an emotional investment you have with a business, and then there's like, oh, all these costs that I put in, and they can be emotional, they can be financial. And sometimes you just have to separate and say, hey, they're gone. So just move on. And that's really what we had to do. We just said, pull the plug. Let's not invest anymore. And, you know, it's better for my relationship. My brother and my husband and I are all still better for the worse, you know?
But tell me about the food at Goods. Was it fun for
a little bit? It was so fun. Yeah. So we, it was mostly Southern food. So, and people loved the food. We had a fried green tomato sandwich that was like amazing. That was our vegetarian option. We made beignets in the morning. We did, you know, all sorts of specials. It was gumbo. It was definitely heavy on the Southern. It was burgers. Made sense because it was an old Airstream trailer that had been refurbished to a kitchen. So it was very like classic Americana food. And that was fun, you know. But again, if the money's not working, you move on.
So what happened in between Goods and the creation of Tillit?
So Goods closed in 2010. So I still continued working in pharma at the time. And my partner, Alex, was a private chef and continued with private chef. And at that time, in 2011, he was going, hey, I don't have like a cool uniform to wear. This is like really frustrating because I'm in, you know, somebody's home and I'm going to the markets and there's nothing cool out there. So we started researching, and really chef apparel and workwear in general hadn't been updated in about 20 years. There was a couple of companies who'd been around for a long time and they really weren't innovating at the time. So we started researching, and we were lucky to have a few friends who were already in fashion and lived in New York, and we started talking to them and they said, hey, talk to this sample maker. And from there we met our manufacturer, and then from there we just started creating samples and testing it out. And that's where we came up with Tillit. So we started thinking of it in the early 2011. And then by the end of 2011, we had a website and 4 products.
You know, it's so funny about chef's wear, because the old school thing is the white chef jacket.
Yep.
And that just, sometimes you look so elegant in one of those chef's jackets.
If it fits,
exactly. Right. When you see someone in one. But then sometimes it just feels very old school.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think at the same time, what also has been happening is that restaurant design has changed. So people went from being in the back of the house and not being seen. So it didn't really matter if their clothes didn't fit well. It didn't matter if they didn't feel good in their uniform. To every restaurant has an open kitchen. Chefs are their own brand now. So what they wear matters so much more than I think it ever did before. And we sort of were realizing that too. It's like, and as a diner, it matters what your server's wearing, because if they don't feel good in what they're wearing, then you're not going to have a good experience. And, you know, people are spending millions on their restaurant build outs, but, and they should have, and their branding and their identity and, this, you know, their team should look the part.
And everyone sort of has restaurants in their homes now because people just love cooking.
Yes.
They're, you know, just everyone's obsessed with food and cooking now. Do you get a lot of people buying stuff for their to wear at home?
Yeah. So actually last night it was really funny. This gentleman came into our, we have like a showroom and retail store in the Lower East Side. And this gentleman came in, he was, he's a CEO of a tech company in Silicon Valley and was with like consulting for somebody down the street and was like a home cooking enthusiast and came in, bought three aprons, got them embroidered with his name on the spot, got to watch the embroidery, was like the happiest camper.
I love that.
So yeah, for sure.
So you, I had mentioned that we were like neighbors, work neighbors, but our building, I think they turned it into a discotheque or something. So where are you now? And can anybody stop by?
Please come visit us. We love visitors. Yeah, so we moved to Grand between Orchard and Allen Street. We're on the second floor at 319 Grand Street. Yes, come visit. You can try on the full range of products, get embroidery. We always have beer on tap, iced coffee in the cooler, and water. So cookbooks to peruse. So people come. We have ping pong table. People come hang out. It's awesome. So yes, come visit us anytime.
Ooh, I want to hang out.
Yeah, come hang out.
Should they make an appointment?
No, just come.
Really?
Yeah, oh, we're open 10 to 6 and we have a retail person who's just there to help guests and have fun with you. Yeah.
You heard it. If you're in New York or visiting, you've got to go see Jenny.
Yes.
We're going to take a little break for a word from our sponsors and we'll be right back with Jenny. Does this happen to you? You need a dozen eggs. You go to the supermarket. You head to the egg section and you are so confused by what you find there. You freeze. You want nice eggs on hand because maybe you want a cheese and herb omelet for dinner, or you want a perfect poached egg to top your avocado toast with. And you know quality eggs make a big difference. And you're a decent person, so it's important that chickens have a good life. But as you stand there, you think to yourself, I have no idea what all these words on the egg cartons mean. So you shrug, pick one, and continue shopping. Stop right there. You are a busy lady. You don't need this bullshit in your life. You need bullshit-free eggs, which is where Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs come in. Their pasture-raised hens roam outside in 108 square feet of space per hen. Those cage-free hens, they never go outside. I tasted the difference once I tried Vital Farms eggs. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. Let's go back to our chat with Jenny Goodman of Tillit. So you've got a bunch of projects going on. I was so excited to hear you're doing something with Edible Schoolyard New York. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So now we have a child of our own. So we have been wanting to do an apron collection for kids, and we connected with Edible Schoolyard New York, and they're such an amazing charity. They, you know, have these six sponsor schools that have their own gardens and their own kitchens. So we thought, what not a better partner than Edible Schoolyard in New York? So we are donating 75 aprons to fit out their schools, their six schools. And then we're also going to be selling the aprons on our website. So there's two sizes, and $10 from each apron sale will go to support the Edible Schoolyard New York programs.
Oh, so they're little aprons.
Yeah, they're little aprons. So we have one for preschool, so like ages 2 to 5, and then one for elementary school, so ages 6 to 10.
Oh my God, I'm dying. So,
so cute.
What are the colors?
So we did one in turquoise and yellow, one in purple and teal, and then a classic black and white. So those are, you know, they go along with Edible Schoolyard colors. And then we made a special patch. That's the, like, their orange logo that's on there too.
Oh my God, that's so cute. And for those of you who listen, I know most of you are like food nerds, sort of. So you know about Edible Schoolyard and that Alice Waters started it. And there's an amazing New York chapter that's run by Kate Brasheres, who's a good friend of both of ours. And Kate has a recipe in our cookbook that's actually really good for those who also have the cookbook. And the publisher wanted Kate's recipe on the cover.
Oh.
Little trivia for those who care about the trivia. So what else is going on? I know Tillit always has a lot of projects.
We do. So we're trying, we run our company like a fashion brand. So we're always coming out with seasonal products. We try to have a collection where we're always moving things forward. So aside from the children's collection, we have a women's flex pant coming out. So this will be our first women's specific chef pant. It's super stretchy. It's like a little lower in the front, higher in the back. So we don't have any, you know, nothing showing when you're getting busy in the kitchen. Great pockets, great pocket placement to make sure you have things for your tools. We are very close to going into production on our women's jumpsuit, which has been a personal passion project of mine.
You have been teasing me about the jumpsuit for years.
Literally a year.
More than a year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's probably been a year and a half. Yeah, so we've had a pattern for like a men's version, like a unisex version. And then I was like, this isn't right. We have to do a women's specific version. So that's what we've done. So it's been, and I'm being very picky. So we're on sample number 4, I think.
Picky's okay.
Picky's okay. I'm trying to get it perfect. But
you're
I
like
think
the
this
Karl
is the
Lagerfeld
one.
Of aprons.
I know. Right? I'm like, this isn't right. Move the pocket half an inch.
So why don't you name drop some female chefs you work with and who you love?
Oh, we love everybody.
I know you love it. Yeah, and, no. And just side note, for those of you who are not mentioned who work with Jenny, don't be mad. I put her totally on the spot. She was not ask this question in advance.
No. Oh, we have so many wonderful women that we work with. Missy Robbins has been an awesome friend and supporter and rocks our chef coat and always looks amazing. And, you know, you guys love her and her food's always so good.
You all know Lilia, Missy's restaurant over in Williamsburg is one of my faves.
We did an apron with her and we're actually out of it. We sold out of it within 6 weeks. It'll come back. Angie Marr has been a really great supporter from the Beatrice, and the things that she does with beef are just out of this world. We love Jocelyn and Erica from White Gold Butchers. They've always been really great with us. And April, you know, has worn our, so she was wearing our aprons on your cover.
And you have happen to have an MBA.
I do.
Which we have not talked about.
Yes.
How and when did you get an MBA?
Well, after I realized that we didn't have the business acumen based on our 6-month stint as entrepreneurs with goods, when Alex and I were starting to bat around the idea about Tillit, you know, I knew he was going to be the creative and I knew I was going to do the operations, but I thought one of us needs to have a formalized training and education. So at that point, I applied to Stern and I went back. So, you know, we were starting a business and I was getting my MBA at the same time, which was actually an amazing way to do it because every time there was like, hey, let's do this school project, we need a business, I was like, I have a business, free consulting advice from all the MBA students. So our first, you know, year and a half in business, I was literally getting free advice from all of the professors. It was a great way to do it because I was like, who needs a board of directors when I have, you know, a cohort of MBA students and a whole bunch of professors to help.
So. All right. That's incredible.
Yeah. So I got my MBA starting in 2012 and finished in 2015.
I wonder if you were there and my sister-in-law was there, Tori Diamond.
Tori Diamond. What?
She's taller than me and blonde.
Oh.
Did you take classes with Scott Galloway?
I did. Professor Galloway. Yeah. And I still get his emails and I send them to my marketing team. I'm like, this guy, yeah, I swear.
I should sign up for his emails because when I worked for Lancome, I don't know how we got involved with him, but he does these reports for industries.
Yep.
And he would do a beauty industry report and he would do this really kick-ass conference that I went to, even though it was really expensive. I would go all the time. I learned so much from that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I credit him with all my success there.
Yeah, he's really brilliant. And so if you don't know Professor Galloway, you can follow him on Twitter. It's Prof Galloway. And then he is L2 Think Tank. And you can get free reports from him. And he sends out like videos, basically. So you don't even have to read. You just listen. And they're like 5 minutes each. And he sends them out about once a week. And they're just really, really awesome and really, really smart. And they make you think. He's very current on his thinking.
He was so ahead of the curve in terms of digital back then because I was there at a time when social media really hadn't even launched. Mm-hmm. And he just was on top of it in terms of digital. And it was so inspiring to me. And I would learn things and then go implement them in my day job. So if you're looking for free business advice, there's a lot of it out there.
So much. There really is so much of it out there. And a lot of the universities are really good about like the professors. Now, again, in the social media age, they have to also be a brand in themselves. And yeah, that he has great content. There's another finance professor who posts all of his classes online. That's really great. So
for free?
For free.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. So you have an MBA. Mm-hmm. What is some business advice you can offer to our listeners?
To our listeners.
Putting you on the spot again.
Yeah, no. I guess what I learned with goods is that hindsight's 20/20. So, you know, you're always going to think things like, okay, I should have done this, would have, coulda, but you use that insight and just don't look back, just look forward. I think looking for partners that have the skills that you don't are really important too. So when you're thinking about people to go into business with or thinking about people to build a brand with, then think about what you're good at, own what you're good at, and then go to the other people who are experts in their fields. And I think that's one thing that, you know, I've learned along the way too.
What are some things you wish you knew when you were starting your, let's say your food truck?
Oh, goodness.
What do you wish you had known before you got involved in that food truck?
Oh, there's so many things I wish I would have known before I got involved in that food truck. I mean, I think
where do I start?
So I think we had like runaway, because it was such a new business that nobody had done before, we had like runaway operating costs that we really couldn't predict. Probably more background research in the first place. Like you really, when you're starting something, there's never enough research that you can do. At some point you just have to go for it and jump in. But I definitely think, you know, do your due diligence, do your homework, do your research. An idea is just an idea until you really flesh it out and put everything you possibly can around it. So I think that's where I would have started, is not just like, oh yeah, it's just going to be great, we'll be fine. No. I also think that, you know, if you're doing a product-based business, use your friends as your testers, use your friends as your champions, use your friends, you know, to help get the word out in the beginning, because you can do that really affordably. And then take people's feedback and then try to implement it and grow your product and improve your product based on people's initial feedback. I think that's a good starting point.
What's the best part of your job?
Ooh, the best part of my job is definitely seeing people in our clothes and just like seeing how happy they are in them. We actually did the trade show at the Javits Center on Monday and Tuesday, and like women specifically, because there's been such a like dearth of good workwear for women in the past. So just seeing women come in and try on a chef coat that actually fits them and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. That's definitely the best part of the job.
And any advice for people who work with either their partner or a family member, because Alex, your partner, mm-hmm. he's the creative director of mm-hmm. Tillit.
Yep, he is. I think just understanding your partner's role and your role are super important, and respecting that they have a skill set that you can't necessarily bring and that you have a skill set that they can't necessarily bring. So, you know, the sum of the pieces are greater than the parts, I think, is the biggest thing. So, you know, we try to really stay in our lanes, and we have very clearly defined roles and responsibilities and, you know, and respect that about each other.
And, you know, it's interesting. I'll often ask working mm-hmm. moms,
yep.
like how they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I ask that, I'm always like, well, guys don't get asked that.
But
I know we have mostly female listeners, mm-hmm. so maybe it is helpful. How do you feel about those questions? Because Alex probably doesn't get asked that.
About like the working mom question? Yeah, you know, and I also think we're very much 50-50 partners on a lot of things. Like, you know, some days when I was phasing back to work, he would have days where he stayed home and I would go into the office when we didn't have childcare. I think women just know how to multitask, you know, differently than men do. And I think that's, you know, being a working mom is just like being able to multitask everything. And again, like, I was really lucky that I have my own business, and my business was 4 blocks from my apartment when I had the baby. And I would have employees over because I needed to feed the baby and I needed to have a meeting with them. And so we would have a sales team meeting while in my living room so I could nurse my baby. And there's something that, like, you know, as a woman and a working mom, if you didn't have your own business, you wouldn't be able to do that. So I think in some ways it's almost like it's a part of your life, both of them, and it's just how it is.
How are you feeling about how things are for women in the food world right now? I'm actually feeling pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
I think the change that we've seen since we launched Cherry Bomb mm-hmm. in 2013 has been incredible. I mean, last year was tough with the whole Me Too movement and a lot of other things. But all the change I've seen and all the incredible women in this industry give me a lot of optimism.
I actually think that the Me Too moment was really hard for women in the hospitality industry, because there has been such like a sexist, and it is such a like a culture. It's hookup culture in a lot of restaurants. It's been like that for a long time.
What'd you call it?
Like a hookup culture.
A hookup culture.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like an old lady saying, like, I know the kids don't say that these days, but that's how it used to be when I was working in restaurants. And I think actually bringing to light that like people are professionals and should be treated like professionals regardless of the environment. And having that sort of brought to a head, I think now makes it feel like it's a more positive place. So I think, you know, it's definitely since Cherry Bomb has come along and people have been talking about, you know, harassment in the workplace, I think there is optimism definitely on the horizon. And I do think it's for the better.
How do you feel as the mother of a young daughter?
You know, I feel hopeful for her. To me, it's like the future should be equitable and equal, you know. And so for her, I want her to think that. Like, I want her to think that she's, you know, her, whatever her PRs are, she's equal to them regardless. And for me in business, it's like I give everybody the same opportunity regardless of gender or whatever, just because that's how it should be. So I think for her, hopefully it won't be a question of men, woman, whatever. It's just who's there and what's the best, you know, fit and role for you.
My last question for you, the name Tillit.
Yes. So
where does that come from?
Utility. So when so when we started the company, you know, we were thinking of what do we want our brand values to be and what does our workwear need to embody? So like above and beyond, it needed to be fashionable, functional, utilitarian. So we like the look of a palindrome. So we dropped the U and the Y and that's what it is.
That, I love that.
Yeah.
So tell everybody one more time where Tillit is
yes.
located.
So come and see us in the Lower East Side if you're in New York. We are 319 Grand Street between Allen and Orchard.
Fantastic. Well, Jenny, you're the bomb.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are the bomb.
Oh, thanks for coming by. That's it for today's show. Thank you to Jenny Goodman of Tillit. We miss having you for a neighbor, Jenny. For more about Tillit, visit tillitnyc.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Vital Farms Pasture-Raised Eggs, and Le Cordon Bleu Culinary Schools. Thank you to our engineer, Dave Tatasciore, DJ Dave Tatasciore, and to the band Tra La La for our theme song. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everyone. You're the bomb.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Radio Cherry Bomb is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.